While waiting for the carriage, she found Mr. Knightley by her side. He looked around as if to see that no one were near, and then he said, "Emma, I must once more speak to you as I have been used to do. A privilege rather endured than allowed, perhaps, but I must still use it. I cannot see you acting wrong without a remonstrance. How could you be so unfeeling to Miss Bates? How could you be so insolent in your wit to a woman of her character, age, and situation? Emma, I had not thought it possible." Emma recollected, blushed, was sorry, but tried to laugh it off. "Nay, how could I help saying what I did? Nobody could have helped it. It was not so very bad. I dare say she did not understand me." "I assure you she did. She felt your full meaning. She has talked of it since. I wish you could have heard how she talked of it. With what candor and generosity. I wish you could have heard her honoring your forbearance in being able to pay her such attentions as she was forever receiving from yourself and your father, when her society must be so irksome." "Oh," cried Emma, "I know there is not a better creature in the world, but you must allow that what is good and what is ridiculous are most unfortunately blended in her." "They are blended," said he, "I acknowledge. And, were she prosperous, I could allow much for the occasional prevalence of the ridiculous over the good. Were she a woman of fortune, I would leave every harmless absurdity to take its chance. I would not quarrel with you for any liberties of manner. Were she your equal in situation. But Emma, consider how far this is from being the case. She is poor. She has sunk from the comforts she was born to, and if she live to old age, must probably sink more. Her situation should secure your compassion." It was badly done, indeed.